Hey, this is Andy C.
Hey, it's Future Bound here.
Hey, this is Katie from Coven.
It is me, Mosey, everyone's favourite dad of DMB.
Hey, this is Wilkinson.
Hey, this is Netsky.
Hey, it's Boo.
Yo, this is Bensley.
Hey, guys, it's Formula.
Hey, it's Andromedic.
This is the Full Noise Podcast with Mike Nicholas.
This is Full Noise, brand new episode, the first one of 2024, actually, and the one and only Yassi joining me out of Aussie. Hello, how are you?
How are you, man? I'm great. I'm here in the land of the rain at the moment. There's no sunshine. We're in rainy season. So
what? It's summer.
Pretty. Yeah. Well, this happens every February, at least on the East Coast where I live. So I live in the Sunshine Coast, which is an hour north of Brisbane. And yeah, you sort of have this insane heat from December through January. And then February comes around and you still have heat, but we get a lot of showers and downpours. So it's kind of cool in a way because it takes a lot of the heat out of the situation. But then also on the days after where it's sunny after it has rained, it's just like so humid, like 90% humidity sort of.
Yeah. Still can't complain, I suppose. It's still warm. We've got a massive bushfire happening on our Port Hills at the moment, which is a little bit worrying.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah. I went up there when I played Rolling Meadows in December. A couple mates that I met there, Tim and Nick, shout out to them. They took me and my friend Jasper, who came along with me, up to those hills to check it out because we wanted to check it out because, you know, Lord of the Rings and all that. And I got a Snapchat the other day from Tim and he goes, hey, remember those hills you were climbing? They're on fire. And he pans the picture around and there's just smoke going everywhere.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, eh? But yeah, I think they're getting it under control, which is good. Speaking of Rolling Meadows, though, how was that?
Yeah, Rolling was great. The team at Sub 180, Jamie and Ash and the others that helped them run the company and the events there, they all put together like a really good show. It was super sick. And where they host it out and like literally in Meadows, you know, it's about an hour out of Christchurch. It was just the whole scene was great. Played out to a decent crowd there on one of the side stages. I forget what it was called. And just got to meet a bunch of people, which was great. And I didn't get to stay the full festival for the full two nights. I had to leave the next morning. So that was a bit of a hungover flight because we partied. And yeah, I think we got to the airport at like literally as it opened at like 5 or 6 or something in the morning. So we got up at 3, but we only got back at about 10 or 11. But it was funny. I actually, by some coincidence, was sitting next to Blank on the plane, Blank and his tour manager.
Yeah.
And he had, I think they were on like over 24 hours of no sleep. So they like, I chatted to the tour manager a bit, but like Blank just looked like he was fully wrecked. And they were, I think they were en route to come back to play Wildlands actually in Australia. But they'd had like no sleep and they'd just played Rolling and come straight from the festival onto the plane. I was like, that makes me feel a bit better about my 3 hours of sleep now.
did you link up on the plane and be like, yeah, so collab or anything?
Yeah, so actually I make DMB myself. Nah, he was actually in the trenches. So I chatted to the tour manager a bit, but they never asked, you know, like, I mean, I told them I'd just come from Rolling, but they never asked about the artist name or anything. So I was like, hey, if you don't ask, then I'm not going to push it on you. I'm not that type of person that would just be like, yeah, well, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like you and I are the same in that way. we don't shout it from the rooftops.
No, I probably should a bit more, but anyway.
yeah, exactly. How do you think our scene compares to the scene in Aussie at the moment? Because I feel like it's definitely building.
I mean, your scene's definitely still way above where we are. I think, obviously, DNB has been adopted over in New Zealand as like a well-known genre, even though it's not pop music yet. Like, it's on the way there. In Australia, I think it's becoming more known, but it's still very underground. I mean, you see the festival lineups coming out. I think you're starting to see trickles of more DNB acts. Like I was just talking before about Touch Bass in Brisbane, which is the main bass music festival in Brisbane each year. And it's typically, I've gone there for like the last 5 years in a row, and it's always been dubstep with like one DNB act. But now this year they've got Wilkinson, K9, Sota, all on the lineup. So, I mean, they got Flo Dan too. Obviously, he's not a DNB artist, but he's known in the DNB scene. Yeah. And then they've got, I think, two or three sort of dubstep left field bass rhythm act. So it's obviously, you can see that it's coming in more, but yeah, I think we still have a while to build it up. I think the other thing too is that there's just the amount of artists that are like making noise in the DNB scene coming out of Australia who aren't already up there. So I'm not talking about like your Ludes and your Shock Ones and and all that sort of stuff. In terms of the up and coming people, it's really a small pool. So, you know, like you have people like me and Bomb, and you have Solomon France, and you have Sammy the Sinner, and you have who else? I would say Echo on Sidetrack, but like they've semi-made it already. Like they're getting huge numbers and they've been around for a while.
Don Darko.
Blaine Stranger as well. And who else? There's definitely some that I'm forgetting, but I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you can count on two hands the amount of people who are really making noise at the moment in the DNB scene. I feel like we need some more.
But I feel like everyone that is coming out of Aussie is like really releasing strong stuff, and they're like, they're doing really well. I feel like I'm surprised they're not over here more often, to be honest, because we're
just down the road. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing too for me is like the amount of show opportunities. But like you would expect that all of us would be getting more shows in Australia, like the guys who are sort of at the forefront of the up and coming scene in the DNB world. And obviously, like I'm not talking about like the jungle world and, you know, your real underground sort of stuff. Like obviously I'm talking more in like the mainstream DNB sense. Yeah, I'd hate to say that there's like five of us doing stuff when there's probably a shitload of other really talented producers. But yeah, you would expect that there would be more show opportunities from that sense coming in. But I think the problem is the DNB scene in Australia is still very much focused on like the bookings are more for international artists. So for example, we're getting people in from the UK now and some people from America that are trickling in, like American DNB acts, and obviously getting some New Zealand acts trickling in. But it's more like your bigger UK acts that are filling the festival and the major, you know, events and club slots instead of your Aussie sort of like up and coming about to break through artists. So yeah, it'd be cool to see a little bit more for us, but I guess that's how the scene works, right? Like the events promoters, they are selling tickets and they need to make sure that the people they book are going to sell tickets.
It's interesting because here in New Zealand, obviously we've had this really good, strong drum and bass scene for like, I feel like 4 or 5 years now, if not, you know, it's been going since the 90s, but where it's really blown up again. But I feel like at the same time now, things like house and especially garage are coming through this year. And I feel like there's a little bit of like people getting a little bit sick of drum and bass in some ways. But then you see some gigs and you're like, nah, people still absolutely love it. Depends on what it is, like, you know, so it's, yeah, it's interesting.
You have the disconnect between the underground scene and like the real DNB heads and what they think and what other people think. You know, like for people like us who have been listening to it for ages, I guess you sort of view what's happening with it differently to someone who has only just discovered drum and bass, and they're like, wow, look at this whole new world. And like now they're trying to dive into it and they're learning all about it and opening their eyes to the scene. So I would hope that it's a bit more of a situation where it's like just the perception of the people who have been living, you know, or being around DNB for a while, that we're not really just seeing like the wider sense of it growing.
Yeah, 100%. And taking it like right back, where did music all start out for you? Like, has it always been drum and bass?
No, it wasn't always drum and bass. I've always loved drum and bass. I think my first introductions into electronic music was when I was probably around 13, 14, 15. And, you know, I'd be like a little bloody nerd playing RuneScape and that sort of stuff. And you just, at that stage, it was just whatever was on YouTube. I mean, I had no idea about Spotify and all that. So, yeah, I mean, you had sort of your major players like UKF, Monster Cat, all those sort of guys. So I got into music through like the UKF dubstep, UKF drum and bass, Monster Cat, which was obviously just a spectrum of all different stuff as well. And what one of the things that really got me into the drum and bass was they the Call of Duty, there was this like clan called FaZe. It's like was really famous back then, and they'd have these montages, and they'd always put like hectic DnB tracks on there, and I was like, what is this? Like, this is awesome. So that's like my earliest memory of being like, yeah, this is really sick. That and UKF. And then over the years, like I think after that point, so when I was, 14, 15, I was born in 1998, so that would have been about 2012, 13. I'm probably butchering that. Podcast math is not on right now. Just woken up. But obviously we then went through that like 8 year period where all the new electronic genres are popping up. So you had like your big room progressive house wave, of like 2012 through to 2014, and then deep house came in, and you had like your deep house tropical house thing that like merged into bass house, and then trap started becoming crazy, and then that turned into hybrid trap, and then dubstep came back up and like took the reins. So obviously, like, I'm a lover of all electronic music, at least most parts. I don't know if you've ever listened to kick bass, but I hate that genre.
No, not that doesn't spring to mind. Like you're just talking
It went
about
crazy for a few years. It's like this very it's like it was this very popular minimal adaptation of Melbourne Bounce that went viral for like a year.
Wild, yeah, it's like
It's the
Melbourne
only genre I've
Bounce.
ever just not liked. Pardon?
Melbourne Bounce never made it here, I don't think. Well, I don't remember it anyway, but I just remember it being a big thing over your way.
Oh yeah, it was huge. It was like around that 2013, 2014 period when progressive and big room was big, like Melbourne Bounce came in, because obviously I had people like Will Sparks and all that that were just
True.
really pushing that. But yeah, it had its time. And yeah, anyway, so I went through the waves of all the music. When I started producing, I started with house and dubstep and trap and that sort of stuff. I actually was producing pretty much anything I could think of. So when I started taking production seriously, which was about like 6 years ago, in 20 or 5 years ago in 2019, I started just every I said I'd have to finish a song every 2 weeks. And each time I made a new song, it would be a different genre. So I was making like lo-fi hip hop. I was making, like rap beats. I was making a bit of DnB, a bit of dubstep, a bit of house here and there. And I'm actually really glad I did that because it taught me the ropes of different genres and like what to listen for in different genres and what main elements make them the genres. And that's like influenced my drum and bass now. Because when I eventually settled on DnB as what I wanted to produce for my artist project, I brought this like influence from all of these other genres that I'd sort of dabbled in. And that's part of why my sound has been quite unique compared to what your typical, like it's still familiar with DnB people. It's not like this complete abstract out there thing, which I think you hear a lot of, there's some, like you obviously are hearing that there's people from other genres that are now dabbling in DnB, and you can see that like their production style is a little bit too far with using the instruments and all that from their, traps and from house and dubstep and all that. So I think I had this healthy balance and still do of knowing what's accepted and familiar for drum and bass people, but then taking the uniqueness, and like the sound design and stuff and influence from other genres and putting that in. At least that's what's worked for me for my sound at the moment.
I was going to say, you can definitely see that there's a lot of influence coming from different genres in your sound, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean it keeps me interested as well. If I was just using DnB sample packs and trying to make drum and bass oriented sounds and doing that every time, I'd get bored. Like, I use Splice mainly, the same as a lot of other producers, for finding a lot of my sounds. And I mean, why limit myself to the drum and bass packs when there is all these other genres, not even just in electronic music, but stuff from like world sounds, from other countries, pop, hip hop, rock, blues, all that, like jazz, all that. Like, I like finding little little sounds that just sound cool to me, and then adding those into the songs and seeing how I can try and work them in. But it takes a while. Yeah, the songs take a long time to produce. I mean, some of them
kind of shows through in some of your most recent remixes as well. You've got the Paint the Town Red remix being hip hop. You've got Lime Cordial being, I guess that's surf rock, and then you've got Down with the Sickness as well. So you've kind of crossed across genres and then brought them over to drum and bass, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I think with the remix side of things, because I've started working with Cloak Entertainment, which is the same management and that takes care of Lude.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a song in the works with Lude. I still do, but it's taking a very long time to...
I was actually going to ask about that because I ask you every time I see you. I was going to ask
Yeah,
about
yeah, that. Man. It's crazy. So it's like I've had this collab in the works with Lude, and we have Flo Dan on as a vocalist, like featuring mm-hmm. on it. And it's been in the works for like 2 years. And it's just not... Yeah, I mean, obviously there's like much bigger players than me involved, so I just can't, like, I can't do much about it. It would have been really ideal for me if it had come out when we originally had planned, which was like late last year, because both Lude and Flo Dan were like, you know, everywhere in the news and stuff, and it probably would have done like wonders for the traffic coming through to me as well, and would have been really sick. But I think everything happens for a reason. And at the end of the day, it's not like I was banking on that for, you know, it's not like I didn't have anything else. I've been, you know, consistently releasing. I've got a bunch of unreleased stuff that I am going to be bringing out. I've got stuff booked in for the next like 7 months. I've got a track coming out every month. And some of them are like the, you know, it's all like upgraded from what I've already released. Like, I've been working really hard to continue to push the sound forward and push my production skills forward, so I'm really excited for that. But
you're still holding your own, so you know you don't need bloody Lude. but if anyone's listening, spam Lude's messages and say release that bloody song.
yeah, tell him to release it already. Yeah, no, I do need him. No, it'll be cool. But for the time being, I have started working with DNB Active, which is one of the content, the DNB content pages from the UK that moved into a record label space once their following grew. So like, I think they got like just under 300,000 following on Instagram. They got a decent TikTok following, and they're a record label. They're trying to get into events as well now. They reached out to me probably like July last year or something about doing a record, and we signed Right Now with Christina Harrison, your homegrown vocalist.
Yeah.
And then we signed Worth the Love, which is the one that came out in January, and they've been really lovely to work with. They're the first label I've worked with who's put proper budget behind it, and they have, you know, obviously in-house their promo with that sort of following on Instagram and stuff is crazy, but they've also, you know, put money into playlisting and into other content pages promo, and they really invested in like pushing the songs, and you can see it in the streams. Like Right Now became my most popular song, and I think it's just about to hit 200,000 plays.
Nice.
And Worth the Love, which came out last month, we just ticked over a month since the release date, and it's pushing up on, I think it'll hit about 100,000 plays in a day or two. So, you know, those numbers for me are really great. Mm-hmm. And since working with them, I've taken my monthly listener base from like 40-50k to it's sitting at 80k now. And right. I've signed another like 5 tracks with them. So the plan is we have a release out today, actually, which I'll talk about. Yeah. Which isn't with DNB Active, but I have a bunch of other ones coming out with them, which will eventually turn into an LP, like an extended EP later in this year.
Yeah, awesome. How good. Yeah, like you say, you've got this brand new track out today, Rewind, and the cover art kind of is teasing something that's coming up really soon. And like when we first like properly hung out, you told us about this, and I think this is like so sick. Like, it's pretty wild, something pretty different for the drum and bass scene, I feel like.
Yes it is. So obviously for some people that know me, they'll know that I have this sort of brand that was taken from my motto called Just Go Skits. For those of you who don't know what skits is like going wild, going crazy. It's just like encapsulating hecticness and just, you know, wildness and all that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make this brand from it that sort of focuses on ways that you can improve your energy, because that has a lot of different applications, right? Like obviously the music, it ties in with the music I make, which is high energy electronic music. But I'm also like really interested into health and well-being and that sort of stuff as well. And all there's a lot of applications when you look at like trying to improve energy, mental, physical, through music, through sport, through social interaction, through what you eat, through what you do, your behaviors, through sleep, all that. So I chatted to a friend of mine who is he's a business type of dude. He runs a few different businesses and he's always looking to make more. So he's definitely the most entrepreneur of friends that I have. And it was just like a drunk spiel. I was like, yeah, bro, I want to make this Just Go Skits, this Just Go Skits company and all that. And he went away with it. And he came back a month later and he's like, I think I want to do this with you. And I know how to run businesses and set them up and I've got some money. So do you want to partner up? And I said, yeah, let's do it. So we started thinking about what we were going to do as the first product. And then another like-minded friend of ours, Max, we got on board. And he, at that time, he has like some pretty major self-like endeavors into the engineering world and into water quality and stuff that he's working on. And he was working in supplements at one point. And he said, well, why don't we do an energy drink? So we started looking into it and we decided we wanted to bring out this energy drink that doesn't use caffeine. So instead of using caffeine, it uses like a few different amino acids, which are sort of like natural amino acids, just in their raw form, that in each way they promote or boost your energy through different ways that they affect your body. Mm-hmm. And that is what brings us to Skits, which is the energy drink we are bringing out. And yeah, it's a zero caffeine energy drink. We want to promote it and push it onto the rave scene, obviously like the health scene in general. Yep. But we more want to promote it to like the rave and festival scene as an alternative, because, you know, going and drinking vodka Red Bulls and that sort of stuff, it just messes with you. Actually, when I was in New Zealand, we went to festival 2 days before, I think it was Hidden Lakes.
Yeah,
sick festival. But me, mm-hmm, and Jasper, who came along with me, we went there 2 days before rolling, and I must have had like 7 or 8 vodka Red Bulls, and I didn't sleep until 6 a.m the next morning.
That's like my girlfriend, like Brookie, she just does not cope well on Red Bull vodkas, and like she'll get home after a night out and be like vomiting.
I mean, it's not good for you. It's like having a coffee with alcohol. I mean, just the caffeine mixing with the alcohol is bad enough, but then like, you know, stacking all the caffeine on you, unless you're someone who's very good at sleeping, especially with caffeine in you, it messes with your sleep. And obviously caffeine also can cause jitterness and anxiousness and stuff. So yeah, we haven't really seen something like this in like, obviously there's zero non-caffeinated health drinks, and you get a lot of those that are more promoted to the health scene, but I think more one that is like promoted and marketed as an energy drink that doesn't use caffeine and more so pushed onto the music scene, it was a niche that we saw that we could fill. So
definitely
over the last year we've been developing that beverage. And we have the blend finalized and we have the artwork all finalized, which obviously you can see in the visualizer and the artwork for Rewind, which is my release that came out today with my record label, Just Go Skits Records, which is obviously a sub entity of Just Go Skits, the main company. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we are basically just trying to finalize how we're going to actually produce it. Obviously we are working with canning companies and that is its whole own issue, because you got to invest quite a lot of money to, and make sure that you have enough profit margins so that you're going to be able to get returns and also have like a marketing thing intact. A marketing idea and like ways you're going to distribute them and stuff. You know, it's like we're starting up a business essentially, but we're really excited for it, and we hope to have that out at some point this year.
Yeah, sick. That is honestly super exciting. And here's me sitting here drinking V. Like, I can hopefully ditch that, and you can we can go for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'll definitely be sending you some when we get them.
Fuck yeah. Hype for that. I'm actually super excited for that. Like, when you first told me about that, I was like, that's sick. So what else is on the horizon for you in 2024?
If you want to check out the progress on the drink, it's at Skitz Energy. But cool. Skitz, so SKITZ Energy, all one word on Instagram. There's nothing on there at the moment, but you know, as it starts to happen, give it a follow, and yeah, you'll see when they come out.
Perfect. All right, I want to play like a little game with you, a bit of this or that, just to get to know Yossi a little bit more. If you're down.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so mosh pit or back row?
Ooh, it was the mosh pit for a while, but these days I'm venturing more towards the back.
It happens with age, eh?
But I go into the mosh pit every now and again, but I don't know, man. Like, there's some pretty crazy people that go into those things. They're just like big blokes that are on a lot of drugs and are like, just, it's like 130 kilos going straight at you for no reason.
Yeah, sometimes you don't feel like getting beaten up at a gig, eh?
No, you know, I didn't go there to run it straight at a massive dude.
Yeah, exactly. Dance floor or jump up?
Jump up.
All right, nice. FL or Ableton?
Ableton, obviously.
Festival or small sweaty rave?
Ooh. See, I haven't been, when you say small sweaty rave, do you mean like clubs?
Yeah.
Nah, festivals are, I just, the production on festivals, it always gets me. I love it. Yeah. So I want to move into, I want to start playing in the States where I can as real. Well, because they know how to make a show.
Did you see the Shrek thing the other day with Excision?
I don't know how I haven't not seen it, like, or how I couldn't not see it. It was everywhere.
Yeah. All right. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Go-to karaoke song. Mm. Oh, probably 500 Miles.
Yeah, nice. Proclaimers. Using the sync button, yeah or nah?
No. I couldn't bring myself to do that.
Controversial one, that one. What's an essential item on your rider?
Always the Coronas. I love sipping on Coronas. I mean, they're my favorite beer. They probably shouldn't be, because they are, I'm pretty sure they're like one of the most more sugary beers that you can get. But yeah, I just love the taste of a cerveza. So
fair. And is there like a guilty pleasure genre that you like that most people wouldn't know about, Yossi?
Look, aside from like the electronic stuff, I think I get around like dirty sort of rock.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. So sort of like the Black Keys.
Yep.
And all that sort of thing. But that's, I wouldn't say that's like something I would hide, but
yeah, fair.
I've always loved a bit of Nicki Minaj, funnily enough.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I shouldn't say guilty pleasure, because I don't think we should be guilty about any music taste that we like, but anyway. And I'll wrap it up like fully the chat on this one. But what's the best advice that you could give to someone starting out in producing right now?
If it's producing, honestly, it's just, you got to grind. I have a logbook I've kept for the 5 years I've been producing, and I've just ticked over 8,000 hours. Every day that I've produced, I've logged in my hours for that day and like how many I did. And the Excel spreadsheet is just huge now. I think I've averaged like 5 hours a day. If you average it over the 5 years, it's about 5 hours per day. So I think people go into it and they really don't have an idea of how long it takes to get it. And, you know, depending on like what genre you make and what, I guess how you approach production and what you want as an artist. You know, for me personally, I don't like following the hype. I prefer to like cultivate my unique own sound and push that, because I'm in it for the long game. I don't want to be releasing just whatever's popular at the moment and then being swept away with the trend as it goes past. So that also prolongs the process, because, you know, I'm really trying to innovate and try new things each time. But I think for anyone that's just getting into production, you just need to produce. Like, just watch a shitload of YouTube at the start, and then once you're at a point where you can start finishing tracks and you sort of get, you got the hang of it. You just need to make yourself finish tracks. And that's the most important thing. Finish the tracks. Like, don't start stuff and not finish it. You need to learn the process of initiation to completion, and you need to do reps of that over and over again.
Cool. Perfect. Well, there we go. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Follow us on the socials. Just search @FullNoise.